Welcome to the Rich the Architect podcast, where I speak not only about architecture, but also the business of owning your own firm, along with other personal hobbies or interests I have. And now, introducing Rich the Architect.
Do we have to talk extra loud or no?
I don't think so. I think we can talk just regular.
All right,
we are live. This is Rich the Architect, episode 7. I got Patrick McDevitt here from Sustainable Monroe. And we're also, just real quick, we're at the 13 Child Brewery here in Williamstown, New Jersey. So if you can hear some people in the background, we got their guests here, and there's a birthday party about to start. I thought it was earlier, but obviously it's starting right about now. So we will hopefully you guys can hear us, but we'll get moving here. So Patrick, like I said, is from Sustainable Monroe. I may have met you through maybe the Main Street Committee initially here in town.
Economic development.
Yeah. So I'm on those two committees here in town. So met him through that. He was doing some stuff here with Sustainable Monroe, which he'll describe here in a minute. And we've been
been drinking ever since.
Been drinking together, yeah. This is usually a time I always run into him. Sunday evenings, I come over for a growler fill. He's always here, usually with a couple friends too, and kind of hang out. So I figured, maybe this time we'll record a podcast.
Get him on there.
Yeah. So, Patrick, I'll bring it over to you. Why don't you tell a little bit about Sustainable Monroe, what you've accomplished with it, what your programs are?
Yep.
Go ahead.
So basically, there's a state program that I became aware of in 2013 called Sustainable Jersey. Here goes the brochure right here. So I came to our township and I went to the powers that be and I said, hey, this thing's going on. A lot of towns are participating. I think we should participate also. And as often happens, they said, sounds good. You're in charge. Let us know how you make out. So they advised me to join the Environmental Commission, which I did not even realize we had an Environmental Commission. So I did join, and I pursued the program, and a couple months later, they signed off on it, and we became registered in Sustainable Jersey. That was in 2013. Took us a couple years to get rolling, and in 2016, we became bronze certified in the Sustainable Jersey program.
Okay.
So basically, they give you the roadmap, a lot of different green and sustainable activities that they suggest that your town does. And so we coordinated the program for the town. So we had to do regular reporting, a lot of documentation, and again, submit the points. So it took 150 points worth of actions to become certified. So now we're bronze. We're actually good until 2019, but we're going ahead this year and trying to resubmit for the bronze certification just to save us a little extra work next year.
Okay.
So we got a group that meets regularly at Town Hall. There's about 12 of us. We're looking for more people to join our group. We meet again once a month. We're all over social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So look for us online and come out. Last year we started the Williamstown Organic Community Garden with 24 beds. This year we expanded to 50 beds. And that's going really good as well. And if you have any interest in that, we have monthly events. You do not have to be a member of the Garden or Sustainable Monroe to join. So we encourage everyone to come out and check that out. And one other thing I wanted to throw out there is in September, the 22nd, we are having our third annual Green Fair, Farmers Market, and Shred event right here on Main Street, Williamstown, at the Pfeiffer Community Center. So look out for that. We'll have renewable energy, electric cars, homemade vendors and crafts, and food, and then music, and it'll be a real good time.
Okay. Now, you said in order to get this all started, was it 150 points or 50 points?
150.
Okay. So what were some of those points? Like, what did you have to
Well,
you got a note? You got notes?
I got notes. Some of it, of course, like they say in a lot of towns, you're probably doing it already.
Yeah.
So we had an environmental commission, so we got points for that. We had a farmland preservation plan, so we got points for that. We had the shred day, which we initiated with our green fair, so we got points for that. Down on 322, we have the recycling depot. So all those things were going on already. We just had to provide the documentation, some pictures, some narrative of what the process was, and then we got all points for that. Some of the other things that we initiated to get some points, we held the green fair. We did made a walking trail over at the Whitehall School outdoor classroom area, so that was worth some points. The police department was already doing prescription drug collection that they do a couple times a year. So again, we just had to document that out, and then we got the points for that.
Okay.
Some of the new things we did was we initiated a Safe Routes to School walking program with Holly Glenn. So we did a couple events over there. So we're really just reaching out to different groups that are working in this space. Cross County Connections is our transportation management agency in South Jersey. So they came in and worked with us. So we reach out to all different people that are, you know, in that space, and we try to, you know, make people a little bit more aware of what they can do in their own lives to become more sustainable.
Okay. All right. Great. So what are there are more points available.
Tons more points available.
So what are like some of the? I mean, like whether it's related to the organic garden or anything else that you're looking for in the future to.
Well, here goes our. Points. This is our actions that we submitted this year.
Yeah.
So we have things on here like a waste audit of municipal buildings or schools, where you get the kids involved to really take a look at what they're throwing in the trash and how they can better deal with that kind of stuff. We're doing the green fair again, of course. And one other thing we're doing is we developed a green development checklist that we're going to be recommending to our planning board that they make available to any developers that are coming into town.
Okay.
So it gives them a little... It's not really holding them accountable to do anything specifically, but it just offers them some ideas of here are some things you could do in your building process to make it a little bit more green.
And could, like, you know, obviously being an architect, you know, could that program be, like, let's just say if there's a... something with... Well, it doesn't matter, no. But something design-related. Like, I run into it, like, so with a planning board... Like, we may have to go in front of them to get, you know, like a business.
Right.
To get approved, or a residential development or something like that would be, you know, let's say that on the land use law, maybe there's something that, you know, let's say, well, density is more of a zoning thing, but let's say there's something they're not quite meeting.
Right.
But if they went with the green initiative, like, well, I do know that, like, in the city of Philadelphia, green design can be... Like, if you can't quite do something here, you can get bonus points elsewhere doing you know, renewable energy design,
right,
or something like that. So, like, yeah.
Help
right
yourself.
Ahead. Uh-huh.
Well, one good thing I will mention. No problem. We actually just got a grant from the Great Egg Harbor Watershed Association. So that's going to enable us to have Rutgers come in, and they have a bunch of student interns. They're going to do a study in our town. So they're going to look at our impervious cover, and they're going to do an assessment of our whole town. And then they're going to give us a reduction action plan to show how we can lower our impervious cover to help with our stormwater management.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was really just a matter of connecting the dots, and we got the people talking to each other, and it really worked out good. So again, that's something that we're going to have in our hands, and we'll be able to show the developers and give them some ideas of how they might look at things a little bit better in the future.
Okay. Sounds good.
Philadelphia is a national model, and a lot of great stuff also is happening in Camden as far as catching your rainwater and keeping it on your property before it rushes off into the stormwater drains. So that's the kind of stuff that we're trying to look at and think about.
Yeah, yeah. So,
okay, cool.
What about, I know you have, you started, you know, outside of the sustainable Monroe, you mentioned the organic garden. I mean, obviously, one thing that of my interest is you also have the Backyard Chicken Initiative.
Yes.
So, you know, with my interest with chickens, you know, I'm part of that group as well. There is. It's not really.
First of all, thanks for the eggs.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
So
I got a couple extra.
So another thing we found out in the hard way is we had a member of our group got cited by the town zoning department because he had a couple chickens in his backyard. We were shocked to find out that in the residential zoning area of the township, you're not allowed to have any live chickens in your backyard. So
but you
can
have dead chickens?
You could, if it's on the barbecue, you're okay. But basically, there's a movement going on across the country, and a lot of New Jersey towns also are updating their old ordinances to allow you to have a couple of hens in your backyard. We're not proposing roosters because they are a little noisy, but hens only. It's sustainable food. You know where your food is coming from. There's no GMOs. So it's just and they make excellent pets. So we have a few families that have them. The kids were really attached to the chickens, but because of the zoning, the poor family had to get rid of their chickens. So again, with our friend Gwen from Camden County Chickens, who's worked with over 12 towns, I believe now, to update their ordinances, we are suggesting that we update ours also. So far the council has not been a fan of our program, but we did have an election, and I understand our incoming council members are a little bit more amenable to the idea.
The ones that won the Democratic ticket.
Yes.
It's not a done deal yet. Let's put that out there at least, you know.
So, and I understand we did have a lot of huge industrial-type chicken farms in our town and the area historically. And that's a little bit of our challenge, is to provide that education that's not, of course, what we're talking about.
Right.
We're just talking about a few hens in your backyard, very common. Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, big cities, little cities all over are doing it. So again, in our movement to become more green and sustainable, that's just goes right along with our garden we started. So it's just another activity people can participate in that helps them become more sustainable.
Right. No, and I would say it's like just to add to the chicken things. Yeah.
Hey, Justin. Hey,
yeah,
Marley.
Justin, if you're on there, you guys, hello on the Facebook Live. The recording here doesn't know that, but what the heck was I going to say? I was going to say something about chickens, obviously. I forget. I'm totally thrown off now. But one thing I can add with that, with it's related to the gardening and all that, is like I have a garden in my house, so I use the chicken manure for that. And you gotta come over. It's like everything's just growing like crazy. But the other thing too is, you know, this time of year, you know, in people's backyards, ticks can be an issue. So ticks help. The chickens help with controlling ticks. You know, or other you know, bugs and whatnot, and all that. And, I mean, obviously, I'm addicted to chickens for some, you know. But,
so lucky for you, you got the good zoning on your house.
Yeah, I'm in agriculture, so I'm all good. Yeah,
but we want great. We want to be able to have them in your residential zoning as well.
Yeah.
And again, the good thing about it is there's tons of data out there that shows that it's not an issue.
Yeah.
We have advisors that will be looking over the program, supplying some education for the people that are interested. And so far, like I said, in other towns, they've had 1 and 2 year pilot programs, minimal issues, and actually zero issues. So that encourages the administration to go ahead and update their ordinance, so it's a little bit more matched up with what we're trying to do.
And I recollect it now. What I was going to say was with other towns, and I've seen it. I think I agree with the treating it this way is have a limited number of permits. Let's say 20 permits. I don't, you know, maybe there's only 10 people, but I think on average like 20 is probably a good number.
Right.
Say like, okay, have 20 permits for the town. You know, whoever wants to have chickens, you apply for the permit. Maybe there's you do an hour or two of education or something, you know, prior to getting your permit, and then you get the permit.
Right.
And then if they're not used, But, you know, if 20 people already have the permit and the 21st person comes in, okay, well, you can't have it because, you know, they've reached the limit. But right. I think that's a good way to deal with it. Because I think, you know, in other towns, it's like whatever they've agreed to, they've never gotten to that point. Right. It is, it's a small amount of people who right. really want to do it. It's not like the entire population of 30,000 people want to have chickens.
Exactly. You that's know? What we're finding in other yeah. towns, and we think it should be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But again, we're just providing a little bit more education to the people in power,
yeah.
and hopefully in the next year or so, we'll be getting our own pilot program, or maybe even skip the pilot altogether and just change up the ordinance and let anybody want. Because to your point, in other towns, after all this effort to change the ordinance and everything, it has only been 20 or 25 people that signed up to get the chicken, so right. we don't foresee it to be a big problem.
And maybe there's like the first five don't need permits or something, right. like, you know, right. like a very small amount. Obviously the rooster thing can be an issue. I mean, I have roosters, but again, I also have the land. I mean, I'm zoned for agriculture, so I'm allowed to have all
right.
of that. So this is and it's not all the residential, by the way. If it's a pine, we're have pinelands here. If right. it's a residential district in a pineland zone, it's allowed.
With 2 acres.
Yes, yeah.
So again,
but yeah.
that's a little bit of a misnomer where we don't agree with any sort of minimum acreage to have a couple chickens.
Yeah.
So it's in some of the ordinances now, but we're looking to, again, looking at the evidence and the data doesn't really support the argument that you need more acres to have a couple chickens.
Right, right.
So again, yeah. all the there's a lot of common myths of having chickens. And again, we're just trying to educate the people.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of interested people. We have a Facebook page for our backyard chicken group, so it is getting a lot more support. And again, in the surrounding areas, Camden County especially, it's really snowballing into a big, good effort.
Right, right. I think it's great. Anything else with the any of your other programs, the garden?
I did want to mention one other big push we're trying to do is renewable energy.
Okay.
So I have previously worked in the solar industry. So right now I have solar panels on my own house. Along with that, I recently purchased an electric car that's 100% electric.
Yeah.
So again, I'm really trying to, you know, walk my walk and talk my talk.
Right.
Again, I'm offsetting almost 95% of my energy use at home with the renewable energy. So one of our, you know, where all this is going to is really reducing our footprint, helping with our climate emissions, and really trying to reduce, you know, the town's footprint.
Yeah, yeah.
So the town hopefully is going to be looking into some townwide solar programs and renewable energy. So we're a big supporter of that.
Yeah.
And we do have a lot of individuals in our town that have solar on their homes. So we're trying to spread that out so some commercial businesses, schools, everyone can get involved.
Right, right. Okay, cool. I know we may have had some other people with us today, but it was interesting. There was a zoning. We're okay to talk about that, right?
Yeah. Public record?
It was public record, yeah. So we had a zoning variance hearing this past week for the development near a farm. And I mean, the end game of it was that it got shut down, and it was interesting because what was it, 100 more units for the development than was allowed?
They almost wanted to double the density.
Yeah.
I think they had a plan that's been approved for 14 years, I believe it was.
Yeah, for like 100 and some.
173 units. So they came back to the planning board this year. All of a sudden, the number jumped up to 292 units they were trying to put in the same footprint.
Yeah.
So, again, we are lucky in our town to have 2 organic farms. And this one was the Muth Farm over on Pittman Downer Road. So the development was close to that, and it would have really impacted the farm and impacted a lot of the neighbors. Actually, already is impacting them with some flooding issues. They've done a couple basins over there. So the developer wanted to come and sell his plan to the planning board or to the zoning board and had a long list of variances that they were looking for. So we went to support our local organic farm. A lot of the neighbors and public persons from the public came out to voice their opinion as well, and we were happy to report that the zoning board unanimously denied their request for the variances.
Yeah. So no, it was. I came in a little bit late, but I will say on my end, one thing I found that was interesting for me as an architect was, they were talking about these numbers of units, and they had all these different reasons, and they were providing more open space and all this, but what it really came down to was they needed to make the numbers work in order to build it. So they wanted all of the, double the amount of units, but what ends up happening is whatever the required yard setbacks were, it became smaller. And the thing that really interested me was, I believe it was a professional planner, was testifying, and he had said that basically the market was younger professionals or older, like retired age people, who don't want to take care of their property. Basically, like, would rather have a homeowners association do that. So I found it interesting that the people who don't want to take care of their properties are and then eventually would move into these houses and then would want to do something. Like, especially if it's a younger professional. They're married. Let's say it's a couple, they don't have kids. Well, then they have kids. Then they realize they want to have a house that's bigger.
Yeah.
Well, because of all these different setbacks and everything, they can't really, they can't expand. So what happens if they can't expand their house? And I have met with families like this who are like, oh, we want to build a two-bedroom addition.
Can't.
So they can't do it. So they're going to move out. So you're either going to have people who, I mean, in theory, don't really want to take care of it and hope they're hoping the homeowner association is going to take care of it. Or two, you know, they're going to grow out of those houses and leave. So you're going to end up having empty houses or not as well-kept houses. So it just didn't seem like, I mean, I'm not against development. You know, it's kind of against my profession.
And
but
neither is the farm was not against it either,
yeah.
But they just want some sensible management and really some information and really to see how it's going to work out. But I think everyone agreed that it was really not sustainable to try to double your density and have less impact on the surrounding area.
And if I remember correctly, there may have been a board member, and I don't want to like speak for any of the board members, but I believe one of them had said something about like, we can't vote yes or no based off of if it makes it sense money-wise for them. You know, so it was, it was interesting to, you know, kind of see government in action in that case. So I think, we'll kind of, wrap it up here. You know, I think this party's about to start, actually.
Yeah.
A couple people are coming in.
Come on down to the 13th Child. 13th
Child.
Have some nice beer.
Yeah, this is actually this is, if you're listening or watching, you didn't know, this is actually a client of mine. I was the architect here for this building, so it's kind of nice to, do this in one of my projects. And, hopefully in the future, I'll probably have the owners on at some point here in the future. But, before we wrap it up, though, actually, let me ask you, as a guest, what was something like architecture-related you could think of in your life, whether it was a building you were in or, experiences you had that, related to a building,
Actually, in my younger years, I was lucky enough to be able to travel to Ukraine.
Okay.
So in my former career, I was at a hospital working. So through some medical aid mission that was going on, I actually got to go to Ukraine 10 times.
Okay.
So for 10 years in a row, basically, that was my vacation.
Yeah.
So I was laughing at the time because I lived in Philadelphia in this section called Old City, which is 200 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And then here I am going to Ukraine when it's, several hundred years old.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of, a funny difference.
Yeah.
So I really got to see what an old city looked like.
Right, right, right.
And so we were in the west of Ukraine. Lviv and Chernobyl were two of my favorite cities. And beautiful architecture, and it really left an impression on me. So
yeah.
And it gave me a lot of good memories to be able to do that.
Cool. Yeah, it's always good to hear like stories, especially coming from what I do. You know,
right.
We sometimes get we get very specific with the project, so it's always good to hear stuff like that.
One other thing I'll throw out there is I didn't just coincidence that you're doing Rich the Architect. In past years, I got to go on a tour of Philadelphia I think it was through AIA, and I don't remember the name of it, but it was kind of like the rooftop tour where we would go in all these different buildings and kind of see, you know, where the general public probably doesn't normally get to see. So it was, you know, really cool. So Philadelphia, again, another good city for architecture.
I did just real quick story, very similar. I studied a semester in Rome when I was in college, and we got to go to the top of the Colosseum, which is not open to the public.
Right.
So that was really cool. You know, so similar to that, we've done like behind the scenes, like Lincoln Financial Field and things like that. Yeah, there's always tourist kind of, you know, professional benefits.
But,
And then finally, you know, since you're the guest, you get to choose the music that I put at the end. So if you got a musical request.
Huh. Wow. Let's see. Now, I don't have a specific song to request, but when I watch late night TV all the time, I always see my friends The Roots. So maybe we can find a good song from The Roots to put on.
I can find some Roots. I can find some Roots.
And we'll keep that Philly connection
going. There we go. All right. I can definitely... I'm going to put Proceed. I shall. Proceed. Yeah, we'll do that. Okay, any other final things? Anything you want to promote again? You know, if you want to say your websites or, you know, Facebook page.
Again, check us out on Facebook, Sustainable Monroe Township, Instagram, Twitter. We do have our event on 6/29 coming up at the Garden. We're doing a little cooking demo and question and answers of your garden plot if you have any issues. Again, it's open to the public. Anyone can come out. It goes from about 6 to 9 o'clock. So that'll be cool. And then again in September, we're doing our Green Fair Farmers Market and Shred event right here on Main Street at the Pfeiffer Center. So come on out. We hope to see you there. Appreciate it. And since we're talking about architecture, we should mention the building we're in is also pretty architecturally significant. It was shuttered for a real long time, and finally these guys came to do the brewery, opened it back up, and everyone I've heard so far is a big fan of it.
All right,
so,
cool.
Good job.
Yeah. I probably will do a... I do have a podcast idea where I think I'm going to tell the story of this, this project at some point.
Cool.
So, but yeah, okay. All right, great. Patrick, thanks for having you.
Wrap
having
it up.
You on board here. Cheers again.
Cheers.
We'll see you. See you guys next time.
Thanks a lot.
From the 215, it's The Roots. Again, I love The Roots. I love The Roots. But I had a great talk with Patrick there regarding Sustainable Monroe, the Williamstown Organic Garden, the Backyard Chicken Initiative, renewable energy, zoning variances, all good stuff. And then just top it off, he chooses The Roots for the music. And here they are. Until next time, we'll see you.